All right, then I guess we will move on to our next panelist, and you're just going to have to wait for a little while for the next door prize. Our next panelist has actually been at CCV before, and Paul Spencer, who works for Disability Rights California out of their San Diego office, has a lot of expertise and passion on the voting rights issue, and he works very hard on issues in that area. And so, again, he is coming before us to talk about some of the challenges we face in terms of our voting rights. So with that, I want to recognize Paul Spencer. Paul?
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for the kind words. It's nice to be back speaking with you all. Definitely different circumstances than the last time I got to speak at the conference, but here we are. And so I definitely got a big bottle of water before this presentation because I only have 20 minutes, but there's a lot of material to cover, especially because I want to give an update on voting and COVID. But, you know, this was a pretty full presentation just talking of, I really wanted to talk about accessible voting systems and remote accessible vote by mail, but I really think we need to do a quick COVID update because, you know, it really has infiltrated everything we're doing now. And this November election is sort of unprecedented in the difficulty in administering this election. But before I get into that, just like, as Jeff said, you know, we are Disability Rights California. We're the protection and advocacy system for people with disabilities in the state of California. And I'm in our voting rights practice group. So, you know, we really are looking to make elections accessible statewide. And sort of since March, you know, we've really been aggressively planning for November because of the pandemic. So just if I could kind of go to the end of the story here for November, there's got to be accessible in-person voting with accessible voting machines and remote accessible vote by mail. I mean, so that's the big takeaway, but let me sort of unpack that for folks. The Secretary of State met with voting rights groups, county election officials, and DRC took place and really did some very intense planning in March, like trying to come up with, get a consensus on how you can do November in a way, you know, that is safe, but it's also accessible and that, you know, it still offers in-person voting. So there's a couple of bills working their way through the legislature on November, and the governor has put out two executive orders. It is really confusing how they're all overlapping and what's in effect and what's happening. But one way to think about it is that the executive orders are sort of the placeholder for county election officials until the bills pass. Yesterday, the bill on sending all voters a vote by mail ballot passed, which is great. But there's still a bill pending on the requirements for in-person voting for November. So that will likely pass, but it's probably not going to happen until July or August. So in the meantime, there is an executive order out for county election officials clarifying what they should be doing for November. So here it is in a nutshell. Counties can run, they have the option, they can just run a traditional election. They can send everyone a vote by mail ballot, and they can also have what are called consolidated polling places. So for every 10,000 voters, they can have one large polling place. Right now, the standard rule is, you know, you have basically a polling place for every precinct of 1,000 voters. So these consolidated polling places are going to be open for 4 days. So starting on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of Election Day. The thought is that that will have enough capacity that there shouldn't be crowding, and it should guarantee good access to accessible voting services. In particular, the legislation, you know, one thing we've really been advocating for is that these consolidated polling places would have three accessible voting machines. So that will likely be in place. Unfortunately, the executive order right now doesn't say that, but the legislation does. So we are pretty confident that there's going to be three accessible voting machines there. That's pretty similar to if anybody lives in a Voters' Choice Act county that does vote centers. vote centers are required to also have 3 accessible voting machines minimum. So that's good. There are some good accessibility protections built into the legislation that's coming. If I could go back to sending everyone a vote by mail ballot. So one way, even if you are a person with a disability that can't use vote by mail because you can't vote privately and independently, I still think it's good, you know, if, for example, if you're an in-person voter, because that will hopefully reduce the amount of people that are coming to vote in person in November. So that's one way to look at it. The other thing is remote accessible vote by mail is still available. It's been a requirement as of this year, and we'll go into a little more detail there. But one thing for November is the bill that the governor signed yesterday allows county election officials to let all voters can use remote accessible vote by mail for November. So I know there might be some concern if you're a remote accessible vote by mail user that would, that might overwhelm the system or that it might cause delays. So this was a concern DRC had in the planning phase, and we've been assured by the election equipment vendors and county election officials that they have the capacity for an increased demand for remote accessible vote by mail. There's also some practical things about, for lack of a better term, you know, people without disabilities that don't need to use remote accessible vote by mail that are trying to save time or something. Practically, we're not so worried about that because a lot of those folks will be getting vote by mail ballots in the mail. And as some of you know, if you've used remote accessible vote by mail, it's pretty darn good, but it can be a bit awkward to use, especially if you're someone that's not used to using AT. So that could be one thing. And maybe I should take a step back just in case if anyone doesn't know what remote accessible vote by mail is. It's a requirement in California and not really too many other states that it allows for a way for accessible vote by mail. So voters can receive the ballot electronically, fill it out on their home computer, and then print and mail it back in. It's important. One thing is not internet voting because you're not actually transmitting the vote back over electronically. And the other thing about it too is it does involve printing something out and mailing it back in, which is admittedly less than accessible. So it's not perfect, but it is an option allowing some people with disabilities to be able to cast a private and independent ballot without having to go in person to a location. But that does not change the requirements that there still are accessible voting machines required for everyone. So that is COVID-19 in a nutshell. The other thing is I caught in the last, some of the questions we were talking about the budget in California. Everyone, I have to tell you, it's looking really bad. You know, there's not a lot of money for anything. And one thing that there's not really a whole lot of funding coming for is education and outreach. To voters about November. I mean, there are huge changes coming for November for the election, and there's really not a whole lot of money for doing education and outreach. So it's one thing just for folks on the call, especially if you work for a nonprofit, is like my nonprofit, for example, we're really gearing up to try to do as much voter education outreach as we can because there's not really going to be a whole lot of state funding reaching out to voters. So there is some money coming, but it's not a lot. And one other thing that should be nice is that people, oh, okay, good. Somebody muted their mic. That's good. So the one nice thing is, you know, people are getting the vote by mail ballot, but, you know, for folks that are in a Voters Choice Act county, which there's 15 counties that did it in March, in those counties, all voters get a vote by mail ballot automatically in the mail. And then there are vote centers, which there's one vote center for every 10,000 voters, and there's also some other early voting options. Most people still voted. Well, most people actually use those vote by mail ballots, but still quite a few people still show up on election day. So, I mean, that's another message for folks, especially if you're a person with a disability that wants to use an accessible voting machine. You might want to go vote on those early days to avoid the crowd. That's another good thing to think about. So now I want to transition to kind of just talking about some voting equipment and some other things going on in the state. So one exciting thing that's happened is all the counties in California now have new accessible voting machines, relatively new. So in 2019, in the beginning of 2019, the California Secretary of State required all counties, they need to have accessible voting machines that are certified to the most recent standards, which are from 2014. So basically what that meant was, is only about 20 counties had, you know, quote unquote, modern equipment, like newer accessible voting machines. So there are about 30 counties that had really old stuff. And, you know, I talked to somebody on the call about some of that equipment in the past, and it's, you know, it wasn't good. It was old. I mean, it was stuff that was bought, you know, after the Help America Vote Act passed. So it was less than accessible in large part because it was, you know, it was getting old. It was error prone and poll workers were struggling to fix it. So, you know, the new equipment's a lot better, and I think it's easier to use. And also it's just less buggy, which is great. You know, there's only a handful of systems that are in use. You know, we kind of closely got to see a lot of them in action, especially as counties were going through the decision process for which system to buy. So, you know, as far as DRC, you know, we try to bring people with different types of disabilities to these meetings and offer feedback and input. And I know some of you have given feedback to the Secretary of State themselves when they are vetting this equipment. So, you know, most counties sort of have the standard voting equipment. One thing that was sort of different in March is that LA County has been designing their own voting equipment over the last couple of years, and March was the first election that it went into effect. So one thing about LA, it's hard to even remember things that happened before the pandemic, but in the early March, you know, during the primary, LA had a lot of problems in their election. There were really long lines. So it was bad. People were waiting in really long lines. You know, we didn't get any complaints from people with disabilities, but there's no doubt there is a 3-hour line. Like, that's going to prevent people from voting at those locations. So the one issue I think I want to point about LA's meltdown is that the problems in LA were due to the voter check-in process, and there really weren't any complaints about the accessible voting machine that people were voting on not working. That was generally well received. So, you know, if you are an LA voter and you're concerned that the accessible voting equipment is good, what the problem was that the voter check-in process, there was a delay, you know, when the electronic poll books they were using, they were trying to log into the state system. There's still a little dispute about, you know, what exactly was causing that problem, but LA has done their own really detailed findings about what caused the meltdown in March, and an independent report just came out now. So the idea is that should be fixed. The other thing that LA is doing, like all the other counties, is LA is actually going to send everyone a vote by mail ballot. Kind of a weird thing about the Voters' Choice Act is the other 14 counties had to send everyone a vote by mail ballot. LA, for the first 4 years, didn't have to send everyone a vote by mail ballot, which, you know, despite some voting rights advocates pointing out that might not be such a good idea, that was part of the problem in March, is that they had a lot more people than they expected show up on election day to vote. And those people didn't have the option of going home and filling out their vote by mail ballot. So that's one nice thing for November, you know, especially if, you know, the pandemic is worse or something, people do have that backup vote by mail ballot at home, which will hopefully reduce crowding. So another thing I want to talk about is e-poll books. So, you know, the traditional poll book you check in is on paper. You know, the poll worker looks you up, looks up your name. You know, they've got the ruler they're scrolling down. They find your name and your address, and you sign the poll book. Most counties are still using those traditional paper poll books. So the 15 VCA counties have to do electronic poll books to check folks in. And another 6 have the equipment, and I'm not sure yet if they're going to use it for November. One thing about the counties doing the consolidated polling locations in November, if counties do that, is they're either going to have all, this is for folks too that aren't using the accessible voting system. The one nice thing about the accessible voting system is that thing has all the ballot types on it. But this is just something to think about from an election administration perspective. If you're, you know, a more rural county that's used to just having one precinct with a handful of ballot types, now you might end up having you know, you've got 10 precincts with language requirements. It's just a lot of paper for the election officials, just another headache they have. So e-poll books can be a way to check people in, and then there's some ballot on demand services that can print out paper ballots for people that aren't using the accessible systems. So the e-poll books are coming. And, you know, DRC is always interested in feedback for how folks are interacting with them. I want to end with remote accessible vote, but I just want to throw in something real quick. So kind of changing the subject here a bit, but the Department of Motor Vehicles has accessible computers now. And the last time I'd spoken at CCB, they were relatively new. Because as you know, you have to register to vote at the DMV, and the DMV didn't have any, you know, accessible way for a person with a disability, especially someone who's blind or low vision, to, you know, independently fill out the paperwork. And part of that's a privacy thing. Like, you know, you're checking your political party. You don't want to have to tell that to the DMV field technician out loud in a crowded place. So, you know, we really pushed the DMV to try to improve their privacy. So they did put accessible computers into every field office in the state. And I think it's like 130 something. So it's a lot. The accessible computers look pretty good. So it's something, if you are going for a DMV transaction, is to ask to use the accessible computer. You know, the DMV signage is pretty bad. The customer services, everyone knows that the DMV is, you know, how do we put this nicely? It's often very difficult to get, sometimes difficult to get decent customer service at a DMV, and their training for working with customers with disabilities is spotty. So there have been some improvements, but I just want to flag for everyone that there is an accessible computer there, and I encourage you to use it next time you have a DMV transaction. So let's move on to remote accessible vote by mail. You know, I talked a little bit about what it was, but also, you know, this March was the first time it was required statewide. So that was an assembly bill last year from Assemblymember Lowe. And, you know, it made remote accessible vote by mail required for the whole state. So before that, remote accessible vote by mail was only required in the Voters' Choice Act counties. So in 2018, that was just 5 counties. And, you know, and one of those was San Mateo, which I think some folks on the call are familiar with. San Mateo, there were some lawsuits, and San Mateo was an early adopter of remote accessible vote by mail, which is great. They also are a Voters' Choice Act county, but it was nice to see it spread to every county in the state. So, you know, one thing we're thinking about with remote accessible vote by mail now is that it's required, is that general voter awareness of this option is really low. So, you know, we want education and outreach to be improved, but the other thing is, like, just the basic stuff is county elections offices, like, they need to have it on their website. There are a handful that don't even mention it on their website. So they need to describe it on their website. One nice thing about the legislation that just passed, that maybe it's hard to say if it's a silver lining or not, but because remote accessible vote by mail is now required everywhere, or they're required to let all voters use it, is that counties are going to have to update their website information. So it might be a nice little tool to try to get them to update their information in general. That's kind of one thing that's often missing on county elections websites, is decent information about the accessible voting options. And I'm making the distinction here, you know, these websites should also be accessible themselves, but you know, we don't just want them to be accessible themselves. We also want the websites to be useful to people with disabilities and provide useful information. And, you know, part of what brought that point home for me is, you know, sometimes we get hotline calls, you know, from a person who is blind, you know, asking if there was an accessible voting system is going to be at this polling location. And, you know, of course there's going to be one, it's required. But, you know, when you go on that county elections website, it doesn't say anything about it. So, like, we would like, you know, just like good customer service, answering questions for people with disabilities, and to have that stuff there. So, you know, we're looking for that. We're also working on, I mean, this is DRC, like, we're pushing the state is going to require, even though I said there's very little funding for education and outreach, the state is going to require counties to do, right now in the bills, they're thinking about, you know, requiring outreach for voters in certain languages. So, we're also trying to add in that they're going to do outreach for a remote accessible vote by mail. So we're trying to get those messages in there and trying to get this point brought to as many voters with disabilities as possible. So that's kind of where we are for November. Things are pretty darn stressful, but you know, we do have some good stuff going on in California. Just to summarize, you know, we're going to send everyone a vote by mail ballot, so that should help reduce the amount of people voting on election day. So that's good for people with disabilities, especially if you want to have an accessible voting experience. And remote accessible vote by mail is required statewide, which is great. So that's where we are for November. The one thing I would encourage folks to do before we transition it to questions is you do likely want to double check your voter registration status, and you can do it online on the California Secretary of State's website. Their website is accessible, should be, and there's a voter registration tool there, so you can look yourself up there. And the reason even if you know you're registered to vote, you're a consistent voter, you might want to double check, especially if you're not a permanent vote by mail voter, that your address is correct. So that might be for someone, especially folks that are blind or low vision, that typically go vote in person and use an accessible voting machine. You know, you might not have checked your address as closely in the past as someone that is a permanent vote by mail voter. So you probably want to log in and just double check that they have the right address for you, because that thing's going to come to you in the mail. And if you are someone that wants to go vote in person, you know, it's what's going to be easiest is if you just bring that unfilled out vote by mail ballot and envelope with you to surrender at the location. It'll make the paperwork the easiest. So that's my advice for folks on the call, especially if you're someone who is definitely going to go vote in person to use an accessible voting machine, is to make sure that you actually get that paper ballot in the mail on time, so that it doesn't cause a headache for you when you go to check in to vote and they say, hey, we sent you a vote by mail ballot, you know, why didn't you use it? Well, if you have it with you and say, I'm returning it because I want to use the accessible voting machine, that's a lot easier than having to wait for them to look you up to see if you did vote the vote by mail ballot or not. So that's sort of been my like a quick guide for surviving November's election is what I would recommend. And as always, you know, DRC, you know, we run an election day hotline. For every reason you get stuck, especially on election day, like the accessible equipment's not working, something's going on, you know, give us a call on our hotline. We're there. It's going to be answered right away, and we'll do our best to try to help you resolve the problem. So our hotline is there. And also, you know, you're welcome to reach out to DRC if there's other accessibility concerns, especially with equipment, or if you have questions, or if you're interested in getting a training done for your nonprofit or your group or anything. But I'm kind of at the end of the presentation. I'd like to see if there's any questions. I know we only have about 2 minutes left.
Thank you so much, Paul. I'm going to take the prerogative and ask the first one. Okay. And I want to go past November. And, you know, there are like maybe two states that do have, and maybe one or two more, fully accessible remote voting, whereby you can actually submit the ballot online as opposed to having to print it out. And there are a couple more states that are currently either in litigation or in advocacy to get that particular right. What do you think is the best strategy? You know, there's a lot of us who would really prefer, even though this isn't a horrible system, and a lot of states have the same system we do where you have to print it, send it back. We'd still love to have a system whereby you could just, you know, hit enter and send that baby back.
You know, Jeff, that does seem, it's definitely more accessible. It's just easier. But that, you know, I'm not sure what the answer is for, you know, I mean, you've got the obstacle to that is folks that are concerned about election security. And I don't mean the types that are yelling that vote by mail is going to cause fraud. I mean that they're like computer science experts are concerned that, you know, submitting the vote back electronically isn't secure. So those concerns, I think, often are kind of what, you know, trip up the Secretary of State and the legislature about the electronic return. Maybe, Jeff, I'm just sort of thinking out loud here. Is one thing is, you know, there's not, with the exception of this November, there's not tons of people that are using remote accessible vote by mail. You know, it's only used, it's not, I think even when it's widely known, it still won't be incredibly widely used. And that might be one argument you can make, that it's not a security concern because it's not a substantial amount of votes that could allegedly be tampered with. But Jeff, I'm still not really sure, you know, what the strategy would be to get remote accessible vote by mail changed to have an electronic return. I will say, you know, there were some, the idea was talked around.
Yeah.
As folks were trying to plan for November, and you know, it did run into, you know, election security concerns. And, you know, there are computer scientist types that make, you know, pretty compelling arguments why they don't think it's a good idea.
Okay. Other questions?
Sheila?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Sheila Gunn Cushman from Oakland. I am extremely deeply concerned about remote accessible vote by mail. Anything that requires print is not accessible to a totally blind person, period. Not only that, from what I understand, you have to sign the envelope. And I would be willing to bet a favorite beverage at whatever restaurant to whoever that we will receive this, and it won't be labeled in any tactile way or any way that I will know independently that it is my ballot. And frankly, my mailbox is not secure. I don't want a ballot. I don't want a print ballot at all. I would like to stop it. And I don't feel like we were considered. And I'm very disappointed in the blindness community, because I feel like, I know that I've been saying this for years, at least since 2017. And here we are still. And I'm very concerned. I'll vote early. I'll do whatever I have to do, but I have to physically go. I want an accessible vote by mail system that I don't have to go in for. But if it requires print because other people are paranoid, I don't respect that. And I'm sorry if that is not cool to people, but I'm really angry about it, and have been for years.
No, and Sheila, I think it's a very valid criticism. So it's not totally accessible or really ideal, but it's somewhat of the way there. Just to address one of your concerns, is that the envelope should have holes punched out by the signature line. It should have that, which is something to help. But Sheila, I also want to buy, I think you offered to buy me a beer next time I see you.
if you can get me an accessible vote by mail, or prove that I can do this independently without, because I don't even own a printer.
Can we go on to the next question, please?
Yeah, sure.
Sorry, Sheila, we need to move on.
Sheila. Well, hang on. What he was trying to say was, Sheila, it should, in every county, it should work this way, that there should be some holes between which you are supposed to sign the ballot return envelope. Now, that doesn't mean you won't send back a blank piece of paper, as we know, but that's one minor point that they have done something about.
And I also just want to add real quick before we go to the next question, is that, you know, if, for example, your signature didn't match, or you didn't get it lined up exactly right, you know, the county does need to contact you to try to fix your signature. So, you know, and they will have your contact information with hopefully all of you, especially if you update your voter registration information. But let's do the next question, because we've only got a couple minutes.
That is me, Linda. Okay. Two quick questions. One, my signature never looks the same way twice. I'd never learned cursive, only to write my name. So that's a concern, but it hasn't caught up with me yet. The other one, more importantly, is, I get lots of scary emails every day from political action committees telling me that my local post office is going to close soon, and what's going to happen with post offices vis-a-vis elections. And I'm wondering if you guys are looking at that at all.
Thanks. I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Linda.
Linda. Thank you, Linda. So the Postal Service having trouble is definitely one of those really scary scenarios. I think it's pretty low probability that they won't be able to handle the vote by mail volume, but it is an issue. So, Linda, I'm cautiously optimistic that the post office will be able to handle the volume. And part of the reason I say it, in, at least just in California, is the Secretary of State, when they had a working group trying to plan for November, one person that did participate is the Postal Service representative that handles California. And they did seem confident that they would be able to handle the increased mail volume for November. So that was somewhat reassuring, but definitely I see the national news articles too about the Postal Service's dire finances, which is scary. But I would, you know, maybe try to, you know, what I do with the inbox from the scary emails I get from political groups, you know, it is scary when you get those. So, I mean, my advice would be, you know, is definitely, you know, personally, like I like to vote on election day, but really you might really want to try to vote earlier and try to submit your ballot as soon as you can, just because there might be some processing delays.
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I just wondered if there were any sort of backup plan if with the Secretary of State, are they going to send out the National Guard to collect their votes or what have you? I'm sure none of that is happening, but thank you. I do feel reassured by what you said.
We do have a backup plan, and part of that is California is really dedicated to making sure that in-person voting is available as a backup in case people don't get their vote by mail ballots. And that's part of the reason we advocated so hard for that is, you know, oftentimes people, especially people with disabilities, you know, you might not have, something might be difficult with your mail access. So that's why we still want to make sure the in-person locations are available. Okay. So that is in some ways our backup, is that we are going to have an adequate amount of in-person voting available. And we also have remote accessible vote by mail. You know, for example, if you were intending to use your vote by mail ballot and you got in some kind of jam, you could contact your county elections office and they could let you use remote accessible vote by mail.
Yeah, I do that. Well, thank you for your answer. That was good. Thanks.
Okay. I believe that our time is about up. And so I'll turn it over to Judy. Do you want to do a door prize, Judy? Or?
You betcha.
Okay.
You betcha. Thank you so much, Paul. It was wonderful.
Thank you. This
your
was
presentation.
Fun. I appreciate you having me.
Lisa.
I'm here.
Go for it, girl.
The lucky number is 42, which is Debbie Obregon.
Okay.
Debbie's for those who have read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, they'll know that Debbie Obregon is obviously the answer to the universe.
Absolutely. Let's do one more, Lisa.
Okay. The number is 125, which is Megan Downey.
Okay. And we'll be getting in touch with everyone. So if you didn't hear your name and if we didn't quite say it right, they've got a spreadsheet with all this information. It's really cool. Okay, Jeff, if you'd like to go ahead and introduce our next presenter.